Well, here we are again, the end of January.
Already.
It's the 28th of January. That's a month gone already, bro. It is episode 120 of the Scary Dad podcast, in which we're going to talk about some funny, scary things.
Yes.
We're going to talk about horror comedy or comedy horror. Just depends on the movie itself or whatever.
Which we've talked about before in our podcast about how the horror genre kind of has a lot of subgenres, one of them being funny.
Exactly. So, got the Saints playing, so we're going to try to make it through this here, this thing, because we're not actually on the 28th. We're actually more on, what is this, like the 16th?
Something like 7th, that. It's more playoff like the 19th, weekend.
20th, something like that. Anyway, I don't even know what day it is still. But without, let's see, let's get Mr. Gomez in here.
First, the old business.
All right. On this date in 1814, King Charlemagne dies.
Heard of him.
Heard, yeah. It's cool, his sword is still up in the archives and doesn't have any rust on it. It's like, it was a really well-made sword. All right, let's see. This date in 1393. King Charles VI of France is nearly killed when several dancers' costumes catch fire at a masquerade party. Now, that's the headline. when you click on that, come to find out somebody had a torch, lit one of those dancers on fire. It spread amongst the other dancers, caused a big problem, and actually four of the dancers were killed.
Oh, wow.
So the king survived.
It's a shitty way to go.
But, yeah, that would not be good. You've seen those, like, old historical movies and stuff where it's like they've got just, like, the hundreds of candles to light the inside of a castle.
A huge fire hazard. It's a
big fire hazard, and then you get set on fire. There's nowhere to go. There's no easy access to water. There's no hoses.
There's no sprinkler system.
You just woof. Okay. This one was eye-catching, but it's false advertising. On this date in 1521, the Diet of Worms begins. So, obviously, I'm going to click on that.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is a Diet of Worms?
Color me intrigued.
Well, actually, all it is, diet is a word that means assembly. So it was just an assembly of officials of the Holy Roman Empire in a city of worms. So it's actually kind of just
anticlimactic.
Yeah, very anticlimactic. I was like, dude, tell me about the worms. Okay. Not really horror, but interesting how words work. On this date in 1754, Sir Horace Walpole coins the word serendipity in a letter to a friend. It's amazing how something like, I can write a letter to a friend, nobody's going to be like, whoa, he just came up with a new word. But, yeah, serendipity becomes a new word that day. Okay, you were just talking about how your company truck has a little sensor inside of it. Yes. To make sure you don't do bad things.
Yes, it watches everything.
On this date in 1896, Mr. Walter Arnold of Kent becomes the first person in history to be convicted of speeding. He was fined 1 shilling plus expenses for speeding at 8 miles an hour, exceeding the 2 mile an hour speed limit.
A picture of the scene from Deadpool where he's chasing the guy with the Zamboni. It's barely moving. It's people can't get away from them. No, we can't get out of the way.
You got to think about it. 8 miles an hour, like, okay, that's not very fast. You can run that fast. But if the speed limit's two miles an hour, he was four times over the speed limit. Like, he was hauling. All right, in this date in 1915, the U.S. Congress creates the U.S. Coast Guard. In this date in 1956, Elvis Presley makes his first television appearance. Changed the world.
Presley, yes it did.
On this date in 1958, Lego patents its bricks that are same as today.
Yep.
They haven't changed them since the beginning.
They should be coming out with a new season of The Toys That Made Us here pretty soon, shouldn't they?
I think Lego's already on there.
Yeah, Lego's already on there, but I was just... Really, that was the second season they had Legos, and they should be coming out with another set, I would think, pretty soon.
Yeah, well, they have to find all the people and interview them. It takes them a while. I think that was kind of a surprise hit.
Yeah, they weren't expecting the...
They're like, oh, crap, now we got to go like make more of these. It's a great show, though. Yeah, it's so much fun. Even the Barbie one.
Yeah,
like
the Barbie was funny. I like the way they mixed the humor into history and everything. And
well, they explained how, like, when for a doll, in order to get her clothes on, they had to make the neck longer... like certain proportions was right. Just
because you couldn't put layers
yeah. As
far as a shirt and a jacket if the neck was the normal size, so they had to elongate it.
So all of the stuff that people get mad at Barbie for being was a lot of it was necessary to create to make the doll right. Functional. Pretty interesting. All right, I don't think it was as popular then as it is now, but you know that Bob Dylan where he's sitting there like angrily not singing the song "We Are the World." that was on this date in 1985. That's the date that song was recorded. That's so cool. Whenever he's just sitting there, like he's just kind of standing there with his headphones on, looking pissed. Like, why am I, like, dude, you're not even gonna try. They brought you all the way out here.
Isn't that the one where Prince, when they were performing it live, Prince refused to actually sing, so he just stood on stage sucking a lollipop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's his way of protest.
I think there was a lot of that stuff that was contractual. That yeah.
They didn't want to participate in it.
Yeah. And on this date in 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger disintegrates shortly after takeoff.
I remember that day very well.
I do too.
Where I was in school and everything.
I remember about it. I was in a little private Christian school in Portland, Texas, and my mom actually volunteered at the school. So we were in class, and my mom was down, you know, helping in the office or whatever. And my mom comes to our door. She's like, you know, the teacher opens the door. She's like, hey, you know, the shuttle's about to launch, and the principal thinks it would be very educational for everybody to come watch this. So we went down in the cafeteria and they had a TV set up.
It was a big year because they had that teacher, mm-hmm. Sally Ride, that was going to be on the shuttle
yeah.
and everything.
And so they got us all in the cafeteria. The whole school was in this big cafeteria watching this thing and just like, poof. And nobody knew what happened.
Right.
I mean,
nobody understood what was going on.
Yeah, like none of us did. We were just like, you know, because it had... And if you remember, you know, you had the contrail from the rocket.
Booster rockets.
And then when it exploded, there was a big middle part of puff. And then, like, the
fuselage went one way.
Yeah, it split off. And so whenever you looked at it, and that image was burned in everybody's mind for the rest of their lives, man. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And it just fell right into the ocean.
Yep.
All right, notable births on this date in 1936, Alan Alda.
Big part of our youth.
Yeah, all kinds of crazy stuff. He's in a lot of stuff now, and like he's had that renaissance since he's gotten mm-hmm. older.
Yeah.
1959, director Frank Darabont. Most notable recently for The Walking Dead,
okay. But
he did Shawshank Redemption, he did The Mist, and several other really great movies. Mm-hmm. He's got that, and he usually uses the same cast. So if you like, if you watch The Mist, especially like whenever they're coming out of at the end when they're all riding on the tank, it's like pretty much the cast of Walking Dead. And on this date in 1996, we lost Jerry Siegel. Half of the team, Siegel and Schuster, that brought us Superman.
Okay.
So that is it for the old business. We'll take a break real quick and come back with the new.
Yep.
gets bad on Friday the 13th. But it gets worse on Saturday the 14th.
The Book of Evil!
Evil? Evil.
Richard Benjamin, Paula Prentice.
We've inherited a house with a curse.
Oh, come on, Mary. You know you don't believe in curses.
Well, somebody did the dishes, and we're the only ones in this house.
An innocent family driven absolutely batty. Just when you thought it was safe to look at the calendar again, comes Saturday the 14th. The year's number one horror comedy spoof.
God, look at all these owls.
My name is John Hyatt, and I've got bats in my belfry.
You know how many? We charge by the bat.
Hold it right there, Matt.
No, no, darling, keep it away.
No, thank you very much. I'd like to take a look at her neck.
Well, if you don't trust me after 311 years of marriage...
When I leave this house, there'll be nothing left here to be afraid of.
Every shroud has a silver lining. So if you see every other chiller this year, you'll need Saturday the 14th.
Well, this must be a charming wife. Famine. War.
Major pest control.
Death!
It's your chance to laugh at everything that ever scared you.
Come on, Billy. Quit fooling around.
Oh, let me just see who that is. I'll be back for that kiss.
Be sure to see it before sunrise. Saturday the 14th.
So did you check out the shirt?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. I like that.
So my sister, well, my future brother-in-law, my sister's fiance, got me a Friday the 13th shirt for Christmas. And it was slightly too small, so it was came from Hot Topic. So I went back, and they didn't have the larger size. They had this one, which is the Halloween 2 VHS cover. So I like it. It's badass. It totally
the horror,
fits me.
The little horror sticker is pretty cool.
Yeah. So I haven't had a much of an opportunity to wear it because I've been wearing polos and being doing normal dad stuff. This morning, throw on a t-shirt, go to the grocery store, come back. My wife just shakes her head at me. I'm like, what? She's like, some people go to church on Sundays, and some people wear the evil skull with the pumpkin on its head at the grocery store. To which I'm like, so what you're saying, I need to kick it up a notch. I need to wear the skull with the pumpkin on its head to church.
Church
instead of the grocery store.
Like, I'm
D-list here. But,
Get. We'll get into it.
Good.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
All right, we don't normally don't talk politics on here, but you are familiar with the freshman representative firebrand, Miss Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder why I'm mentioning her on this program is, you know, she's been under fire by both Republicans and Democrats for her kind of zany ideas and get-in-your-face attitude. The recent tweet... She quoted not only one of my favorite comic book creators, but also one of my favorite comic book series. Her tweet was, to quote Alan Moore, "None of you understand. I'm not locked up in here with you. You're locked up in here with me." She quoted Rorschach from Watchmen.
That's hilarious.
In a tweet. Only reason I wanted to bring that up, I don't care for her very much. Some of the stuff she says is just, it just sounds like a child that... that has just these ridiculous aspirations that are unachievable. But she quoted Alan Moore. I gotta give her props for that one.
Dude, she took a page out of something because you realize, of course, this is what's... Okay, so there are 100 senators, two per state. And then there's like 400 congressmen because mm-hmm. it's all based on the size and the population, yeah. All that. So out of like 400... She's one, and she's making noise, and all the signs, like, all the cameras are on her. It's like, she took a page out of somebody's book about how to get on TV.
Yeah, she's not going anywhere anytime soon.
No.
We're stuck with her for a while. I don't think I spoke about this on the last show, but if I did, just let me know. But a Florida man recently was arrested, 40-year-old Wesley Scott, charged with outstanding warrant from drug possession. He was searching the field. He said he didn't have anything illegal, so they went ahead and brought him to jail. During a strip search, they removed 3 syringes from his rectum. He just reached down, pulled out some syringes, gave it to the jailer, and said that they weren't his. So in front of the jailer, he pulled them out and said, "Hey, these aren't mine, but here you go."
Wow.
Does it say who he accused of actually owning the syringes or why they were found in his rectum? But he denied ownership of the...
That was one of my favorite clips from Cops. Like, back in the early 90s, you know, like when Cops was really popping. They bust in on this guy, and he takes off running. He's got no shirt on. He's got, like, a pair of khakis. And they tackle him, and he's got, like, 10 grand in cash in his pocket. Which, you know, that's not illegal to do.
Right.
You know, you can have 10 grand of cash. It's just that running from the cops part, that, you know. But they tackle him and they pull the money out and they're like, "What's this for?" He's like, "I don't know. These aren't my pants." Just like deny, deny, deny.
I grabbed somebody's pants that happened to have 10 grand.
Yeah, I just didn't check the pockets.
Okay. I think we can actually, this is a sad point in American history where we could do a weekly Who Fell Through the Ceiling with No Pants On segment.
Did it happen again?
Tennessee. 26-year-old Harley Morton was arrested after an employee at Cookout in Kingsport, Tennessee, called police to report a woman falling through the restaurant ceiling. A half-naked woman fell through the ceiling of the burger and barbecue joint, not once, but twice.
Did she climb back up and try it again?
Yes. She apparently had somehow gotten through the roof into the ceiling. So when she fell out the first time, she ran out the door. Unbeknownst to the employees at Cookout, she went back up on the roof.
I got back in.
And tried to get back. And by the second time, the police were already there from the first time, so they arrested her once she fell through the ceiling tile, pantsless. They did find her wallet and her clothes on the roof of the building. She transported to jail and charged with criminal trespassing, vandalism, and disorderly conduct. So, yeah, so we can actually do a weekly Who Fell Through the Ceiling this week with no pants on. All right, you have sure by now you've heard about the they're going to be doing a sequel to Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters 3, original cast. Ernie Hudson has kind of, you know, gone ahead and confirmed that all the original players are going to be involved with it. Still no plot details or anything yet, but as you remember, in 2016, they tried to reboot the franchise with mm-hmm. an all-female cast, which failed pretty badly. I've watched it. I didn't care for it, and it wasn't because it was female ghost. It was just, I thought it was a shitty movie.
Right.
Just me. But apparently the fact that they're doing a sequel to the original ones has pissed off some of the cast members of the 2016 reboot. In particular, Leslie Jones, who took to Twitter in a pretty straightforward to the point tweet. "So insulting, like fuck us. We didn't count. It's like something Trump would do." She actually brought politics into it.
Of course.
"Going to redo Ghostbusters. Better with men will be huge. These women ain't Ghostbusters. So annoying. Such a dick move. And I don't give a fuck. I'm saying something." She mad.
Yeah, you think?
But pretty much everybody so far that I've seen, the feedback has been pretty great with wanting to see the original cast on screen.
Well, and that's, I don't know if we ever even talked about Ghostbusters, but
we have several times.
Not this Ghost, but the reboot.
Yeah.
Like, okay, here was the thing. The reason why it was received so badly, the reason why nobody wanted to see it, and because it turned very political very quickly. It was very obvious that it was a diversity move,
yeah.
You know, quote unquote diversity move. So you say, okay, we're gonna make a new Ghostbusters movie with an all-female cast. That is an interesting thing to do. Or, you know, hey, call it a mixed cast. You're gonna have some of the old folk, you know, some of the old guys in,
yeah.
And some new blood, and it's like next generation. There's all kinds of different ways that you could spin this to make an actually interesting movie. I mean, you've got all the lore. You've got all the history there.
Right.
But when they're like, nope, it's a straight-up reboot, blah, blah, blah. Then people were like, okay, I'm not sure we need this. Then the director got, got pissy about it, and all the actors got pissy about it, and was like, it's like, well, that's just toxic masculinity. But you're like, no, be kind of mad if they were rebooting like a Superman movie, and you know, there's you could make a Supergirl movie. You know, you don't need to throw in a female Superman and call it Superman, like right? Like
right.
So keep your politics out your movies, and people will be more likely to go see them unless it's a political thriller. Like Hunt for Red October or something, you know. But
now, I'm sure you saw the pictures and news of this, being how much of a fan you are of these. But recently, what is considered to be the largest great white shark in existence was photographed off the coast of Hawaii, and mm-hmm. I really found it to be a fascinating story, being that this is a known shark that has a history. That the shark was named nicknamed Deep Blue mm-hmm. back when it was first spotted. I believe it was in 2013 off the coast of Mexico, and it was tagged at that point. And back then, I want to say it was like 15 or 16 foot long. Deep Blue has achieved a length of 20 foot in length, which mm-hmm. is essentially is the height of a giraffe.
She's huge, and they think she's pregnant.
Yeah, what's amazing is the pictures that were taken of these people. They were researching tiger sharks whenever they happened upon Deep Blue. And one of the pictures looks like one of the divers is holding its hand and swimming alongside of it. It is just phenomenal. It's
really neat the way, because apparently as soon as she kind of strolled onto the scene, all the sharks bolted. Like, everybody left.
Respect.
Yeah. Well, she's huge, uh-huh. and you don't get that big by being, you know, reckless, you know. But so I'm pretty sure that if she was wanted to be aggressive, she could be. She's right. You know, she's coasting in, taking a look around.
But
she's
feeding off of a dead whale, so there's plenty of food around.
Yeah,
it's not like
she's boss when yeah. she shows up. She's like doop doo doo. But yeah, she's monstrous.
But probably the second only to Jaws in as far as the most famous great white shark there is. Featured back in 2014, Shark Week documentary, when they originally tagged the fish. It's pretty phenomenal pictures if you get a chance to check them out.
Yeah, she's a huge, yeah. huge shark, dude.
Recently, Rob Zombie came out and made an announcement that they finally finished Three from Hell. He's come back to kind of clarify what he meant. They're finished as in they don't have any more shooting to do. They still have editing to do and everything else, finishing up the picture, but we were still looking for a release of Free From Hell by the end of this year. So that's cool. Pretty awesome. And I'm sure you heard about the woman that was banned from Walmart while drinking wine from a Pringles can. Okay, it's become a national phenomenon, but for those that are not aware of it, in Wichita Falls, Texas, a woman was banned from Walmart after they said she was riding around one of the electric carts in the parking lot drinking wine from a Pringles can, drunk. There's been several groups who have gotten together, absconded the electric carts from Walmart, and ridden around drinking wine out of Pringles cans. And,
solidarity.
Just, solidarity with this lady that was banned from Walmart.
They banned me from Walmart. Jeez.
All right, we talked about this a little while ago with the GPS tracking and everything. But you notice how in a very short amount of time, huge 55-50-inch flat-screen smart TVs, you can get them for like $500 a piece right now. And I remember back when I got my first LCD TV, it was like $1,700 for a, you know, 42-inch TV. You can get a 60-inch TV for $600 now. Mm-hmm. You ever wonder why?
Because they're selling your data.
Yeah. Recent interview with one of the higher-ups with Vizio, he actually said, you know, we wouldn't be able to sell it for that price point if we weren't mining your data from you using your smart TV and selling that to people. You know, we could go ahead and, you know, cut that part out, but you could end up spending about $500 more per TV. So, yeah, so all these people that are going nuts, they're just tracking all your data, man.
Yeah.
Just like you were talking the other day about the Razor ads all of a sudden sort of popping
yeah.
up. This is just the weirdest feeling whenever that kind of stuff happens, man.
Well, and that's the weird thing was I didn't even click on the link. I did. That was the thing.
It just popped up on your timeline.
Well, it was the somebody posted it, right? And I don't know if my mouse hovered it or what, or if it just stayed on my screen longer than it should have. But it wasn't the It wasn't the commercial. It was about the Gillette commercial. It wasn't the commercial. It was an article saying, like, Gillette faces backlash. And I didn't even read the article. Didn't even click on the article. And then, like, 5 minutes later, all of the ads on my screen are about different kinds of razors and stuff. And it's like, man, I didn't even click the article. They should know if they're dating, they're mining all my data that I don't shave. So, like, it's
like. Finally, I thought this was pretty neat. Now, I'm not speaking to Avengers, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm talking about the Avengers comic book series. In the current iteration that they're going through, a war is about to start within the vampire realm in Marvel, where Colonel's trying to overthrow Dracula to take over the vampire world to start a war against the human race. So Black Panther, who's currently the leader of the Avengers, takes it upon himself to introduce a new member to the rest of the Avengers, and Blade is about to join the Avengers in the comic book world.
Sweet!
Which I think is pretty, pretty badass, and he has already been introduced with a small appearance in Avengers number 12, which has recently come out, with Black Panther saying, meet my friend, he's going to come and help us out.
When's the last time that Blade was, I don't think there's been any Blade comics in a long time.
It's been a while. It's probably been well over 10 years for sure.
So yeah, so he's yeah. getting basically a reboot with all of the other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's in the introduction he says with the man whenever Black Panther's saying this is who's going to come help us, but what the man is trying to say is I'm Blade, I'm the new Avenger, and we've got a whole lot of vampires to kill.
Nice.
So it's pretty badass, man. So you never know, he may end up being in the movies one day. But that's what I have.
Did you see the dude that took down that hostage situation in Kenya?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The guy, he's just walking down coming down the street.
He was at the pub.
He was like, I got this.
he was down the street at the pub. Like, he'd been in town, like, training some guys.
He's like the Punisher. Like, Frank Castle was hanging out in Africa.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And yeah, like, shit goes south, and this dude just gears up and goes in there and takes him out. And, like, he was, like, the meme king. It's like, you know, the, what is it? Like, a lot of the, it's like Oaf Nation, which is like Special Forces, you know, celebratory or whatever. It's like there's this picture of him and like this like policeman's holding a paper out in front of him. And it's like, sir, here's your license to kill. And he's like, cheerio. This is badass.
But, not to downplay what he did, but typically in areas of Africa, whenever you have uprisings like that with any kind of like rebel factions or anything, they're actually not that badass. Because I have a lot of friends that used to work offshore, Nigeria, in different areas and stuff. And they'd have pirates that would end up on the rig. And it would happen. This would happen to friends of mine multiple times in a year. Guys would come up on some little outboard motors, get on the plus 10 is like the lowest part of the rig that's closest to the water. They'd climb up on the plus 10, get on board. They'd have machetes and stuff like that. They'd move the entire rig crew into like the TV room. Okay, then they would call in for the demands. And he told me, my friends that have been through this told me that you're sitting in the TV room, just hanging out. All of a sudden, you'll hear a whole bunch of noise. Then the door will open, and the cops will have come and beat the shit out of all the rebels. And they're all on the floor, tied up and bleeding. And then you go ahead and get back to work. He said it would happen all the time, man.
I'm sure it does. Yeah, I mean, they're not... I mean, they're certainly not special forces. It's just crazy. There's one.
Yeah, but yeah, not, like I said, not take away from the story because it's an awesome story. There's an incredibly bad story.
Just sitting at the bar, it's like, oh, some shit's going down. It's like John McClane or something.
Watch my beer.
Yeah, like, let me set a coaster on here. Go gear up real quick. Go take out 14 terrorists and then go back and see if the bubbles are still there. You know, it's like, it's pretty rough, man.
Yeah, like, it's amazing, dude. That is very amazing. That's it for me.
All right, let's take a break and we will be right back.
Yep.
It's coming from the deep, dark recesses of the mind of Mel Brooks.
I love him.
Young Frankenstein.
Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
He's
guy means business.
Starring Gene Wilder as Dr. Frankenstein.
That's Frankenstein.
Peter Boyle as the monster. Wow! Marty Feldman as Igor.
My grandfather used to work for your grandfather.
I'm sure we'll get along splendidly. Oh!
Horace Leachman as Frau Blucher. And Madeline Kahn as Elizabeth.
What do you want to do to me? I'm not afraid of you.
Kill the monster! See Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein.
Yes, I think we could all use a good laugh.
But don't see it alone. Don't miss Young Frankenstein, personally directed by Mel Blazing Saddles Brooks, in black and white. No offense.
All right. Forgot an old, forgot a new business.
Shoot.
As of right now, we're recording. I've got a number one bestseller on Amazon.
That's true. Very exciting.
That's pretty badass. Take a quick moment to talk about it because I don't like necessarily to mix them up. But when we went and saw the No Sleep podcast last year, well, the one person that I, you know, that I coordinated with between Johnny was Jessica. Her name's Jessica McAvoy. She's one of the actresses on No Sleep podcast. Well, she started the No Sleep podcast book club. So there's a whole bunch of writers and readers and people just kind of going back and forth. So I don't remember exactly when it was. It's like February or March of last year. She suggested doing a collaborative project around a haunted mall. Well, everybody wrote their stories, but usually when everybody writes their stories, it's kind of reviewed and then you go off and do your own thing. Like you submit them to publication or whatever, but you're on your own. Like we don't follow through with anything. Right. We just kind of, well, I had all these stories and it was a really fun project. So I volunteered to take it on myself. Like I'll edit it. I will read the stories and draw the lines between them and kind of make some kind of continuity. Well, I did that, you know, got the stories, you know, so it's 14 stories about a haunted mall, all different stories, but they're all kind of linked together with different place names and phrases and stuff. Shopped it to a publisher, got it published. It came out on the 18th. So this last Friday, as of the recording time. And the reviews have been all pretty much 4 and 5 star. The ones that aren't 4 and 5 stars are like I don't really read this kind of stuff, which I don't know why you'd write a review if that's not what you read, but okay, whatever. But no, it's been really good.
I think it would make a cool screenplay.
There's some of them in there that are...
But I could see a horror anthology. You could do even 4 or 5 stories where you have an abandoned mall where, you know, some kids break into it and they start telling stories about what's going on in the mall. I could see the screenplay in my mind.
Yeah, I think. Well, I'm gonna try to take it a little further than and even maybe work on a sequel. But yeah, I mean, you start thinking about the mall and you think about the history and the lore.
Yeah,
you know,
look at the movies that used to come out. You know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Mallrats. You know, there was
even like Chopping Mall.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a central part of American society was the mall at one time.
Yeah. So it was a really fun project. Go to Amazon, look up Tavistock Galleria. It's short horror stories from America's retail wasteland, and click the buy button. And you can, if you know me and you get in paperback, then I will sign it for you when I see you. So that's my quick plug. But it's also kind of brought us to where we're talking about horror comedy, because I write horror stories. I write scary stories. And it's somewhat difficult sometimes because the tendency is, if you're not careful, your horror goes to comedy real fast.
Yeah.
Like, be like, he raised the axe and then... It slipped in some blood. Ha ha ha, slapstick, he fell down. especially when I'm the shorter stories. So like you're doing it like on Twitter. They have a thing called VSS 365. It stands for very short stories. You get a prompt word, you write a scary story in the length of a tweet. It's really hard to make them scary. Right. It's really easy to make them funny. So... But yeah, so that's... I was kind of thinking of a theme. I was like, man, there's a lot of there's a lot of comedy movies with horror elements to them. Then there's a lot of horror movies that are actually just straight up funny because
yeah, they're meant to be funny, dark humor.
Well, that and then like whenever you get some of the later entries to franchises, like Halloween's always taken itself very seriously, but Nightmare on Elm Street,
Friday the 13th, even
when you get to the later episodes of that, it's like it's definitely silly.
Yeah, Manhattan when he breaks the guy's boombox and everything. That was, you know, meant to have levity in that movie for sure.
So, but yeah, we're going to talk about some horror comedies and some comedy horrors. So, Scott's got a big long list. So,
well, I'll lead it off with one of my favorites by far. And this is, these are movies that were intentionally meant to be funny. These aren't, you know, unintentionally humorous.
Right.
But definitely Bubba Hotep. That the plot in and of itself sounds like a setup for a joke.
Mm-hmm.
So, Elvis impersonator runs into President John F. Kennedy in old folks' home.
But you he's not an impersonator. He's,
he
believes
he's Elvis Presley, but he tried to take the place of an Elvis impersonator to get away from his life.
Right.
So he's now Sebastian Stan, and nobody believes that he is the real Elvis Presley.
Right.
Because unfortunately, the contract was burned up in a fire, and Sebastian Stan, he enjoyed drugs even more than Elvis. And he ended up dying with the secret. The movie is meant to be a funny ass movie, but it's also a great horror movie.
Well, it's got those lines that are just drawn, you know, to make you're like, this is ridiculous. But it actually, it makes sense when you watch the movie. Like you understand how these weird things could have happened.
Right.
So
now, of course, Ozzie Davis is the black JFK who says they dyed his skin black to hide him.
Yeah.
And put a hole in the back of his head to take that part of his brain out. He just looks like a crazy ass person. But the Sebastian Stan character, you can truly believe that it is someone that is actually Elvis Presley.
Or at least thinks he is.
Yeah. So yeah, that's one for sure. That and what's funny is, of course, can we call Bruce Campbell the king of comedy horror?
Probably so.
Because in the same list, we have Evil Dead 2 and we have Army of Darkness, both stories.
Well, when you mentioned Bubba Hotep, I was like, you know, probably ought to start at Evil Dead 2 because I don't know that there is a movie out there. Well, I'm sure there are, but whenever you say horror comedy, like Evil Dead 2 is probably at the top of everybody's list because it is frightening.
Yeah, it's a scary movie. I mean, it's funny.
It's got some really good effects and it's got some good jumps and it's got some horrifying stuff, but it's also just bizarrely funny. Like it's silly, you know? And, you know, following up with Army of Darkness, like we said before, you get a little bit more money, but they didn't tamp down the silliness.
Right. Well, it was so cool. They ramped it up. You know, they went from original Evil Dead, which was just a straight scary movie. There was no humor in that movie at all, to Evil Dead 2, which was corny as hell. I mean, the whole scene with his hand fighting against him and everything and the stuff his hand's doing, it's just, it has so many purposely funny elements. To Army of Darkness, which is just...
Which, and if you think about it, like the hand scene is so brilliantly done. It's the sound effects that make it silly. If they would have left that out there, it would have stayed true horror.
Right.
Like if they would have just left it out and he's just got his severed hand like crawling off to hide in the wall, like ooh. But they put the little the little voice in there and then it makes it funny, you know? So it doesn't take much. It's just a change of the light, a little bit of perspective to go from something truly horrifying to something freaking hilarious.
Right. And Bruce Campbell is so good with that particular scene. I remember as a kid, when my cousin got his VHS recorder, we started making movies, I would redo that scene all the time.
It's good stuff, man. I love... Like I said, you know, I hadn't seen Evil Dead 2 in a while until I picked up that VHS, like last year, the year before, whatever. And I was like, okay, I'm going to just go on a marathon. I'm going to watch all three. Just trilogy it out. Especially when Rick was talking about it so big on his shows. And I'm just watching back. I was like, the things that hit me. Number one, I forgot how scary the first one actually was.
Oh, yeah.
I had forgotten.
It was graphic.
Yeah. And I had forgotten about how much of a remake of the first one the second one was. But it was just like they took the first one and they added a bunch of jokes.
Yeah.
And
they cut the cast in half and added some jokes to it.
But then in Army of Darkness, how they just, you know, that's what led me to believe to just, like, at the end, Ash just lost it. he's just, his mind is so far past bending, it's broken. And that's how he can just, that's why he becomes such a brash, you know, taking care of business sort of dude instead of the scared guy at the beginning, is because he's just like, dude, I can't win, so I'll just fight harder.
All right, let's go. Another big one that we talk about every once in a while on here is, of course, Tucker and Dale Battle Evil. Such a well put together movie that's purposely funny.
Yeah, that's a straight up comedy.
Yeah,
I mean,
horror elements.
Well, it's a scary comedy. Like, the thing is, like, whenever certain movies, I think, or stories, whatever, whenever they take themselves too seriously, sometimes they lose. Like, Tucker and Dale is a straight up comedy, but they didn't dial back any of the gore.
Right.
Like, the kills are still brutal.
Yeah.
You know, the bad stuff that happens is well executed and it's frightening. And from the kids' perspective, they're being hunted by these crazy rednecks.
Right.
You know. And from Tucker and Dale's perspective, they got the suicide cult running around outside of their cabin.
But the thing about Tucker and Dale, even the kills are funny.
Yeah.
You know, the way that people die, you'll laugh at somebody dying.
You got to take safety off there. It's like, don't tell them that. And the poor guys, man, they just wanted their cabin. They just wanted their little fishing cabin.
Okay, another one that, in my opinion, is one of the more underrated movies in this category for sure. But if you take the guys that made Beer Fest and Super Troopers and you tell them to make a slasher movie, it's going to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
But Club Dread is by far one of my favorite movies. I mean, you got Paxton in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got MC Gainey in it. You have the Broken Lizard guys in it. It is just, and the special effects, the practical effects, the kills, everything about this movie is just funny as hell. The lines in it, you know, there's... I was talking to somebody the other day, because we were talking about Three's Company, and it was one of my valets, and I was like, you know, in the movie Club Dread, he's from Costa Rica, one of the guys, the guy that Steve Lemmy plays, Carlos. And the detectives are there, and they're like, we recognize you from the mainland. And he's like, no, you don't know me. And come to find out what it is, he had been arrested as a child for having sex with a goat. And he does the coolest line. He says, we were just a couple of kids. But just their ability, it's a funny movie.
The delivery.
Yeah, they're just awesome.
The subterfuge there.
But they're talking about Three's Company, and the guys from Costa Rica don't know what they're talking about. He goes, yeah, we had that show on TV here. It was called One Lucky Ass Gringo or something like that. Yeah, Club Dread is fantastic. We like to Bill Paxton is just so good in it, playing Coconut Pete. When he breaks down at the person telling him to play Margaritaville, it's just...
No!
Fuck that guy, son of a bitch. Yeah, Club Dread is a movie that, if you haven't seen Club Dread, you got to check it out. I'd honestly love to have the Broken Lizard guys at a show. Just to talk about their working with Club Dread and just... what they've done. I mean, what they've been able to do with their group and stay true to it. Now, they Steve Lemmy and Heffernan, Heffernan was, what's his name from Super Troopers? Farmer.
Mm-hmm.
They've broken off, and they actually have a new series that's about to come out on True TV called Tacoma FD, which is essentially a fire department version of Super Troopers.
Okay.
So they've kind of broken away from Broken Lizard for this one project, but Broken Lizard, to this day, is still together. They still work together. They
that's
work
awesome.
Together so well. So
they're hilarious.
Oh, man, they're awesome. Their movies are such classics. They're talking about doing a Beer Fest Part 2, which I think would kick ass.
Das Boot.
Yeah.
So when I was in the band... my buddy Dennis would have we'd just gather at his house, you know, like Friday night, Saturday night. All the girls' friends and wives would come over. We'd just have a barbecue and just chill and drink. Well, he had a Beer Fest one. He had Beer Fest up on the thing, and he had ordered off Amazon. He got two Das Boots. And we were doing the thing, but
just turn it.
You have to turn it just right. But yeah, and I don't know if I could do it now, but especially then, dude, I could chug beer like crazy. Like I'm.
We used to chuck pitchers, dude. Yeah, it was easy back in the day.
Yeah, and like I have the story when I was 20 years old, maybe. But Coors Light like, whenever you'd go buy, not the 40, but the 32 ounce, because, you know, like, regular domestic beers wouldn't come in the 40s, they'd come in the 32. And they'd go, they'd have that tapered bottle, and then the top was, like, small, like a regular sized beer bottle. So you couldn't drink it very fast because just the air and everything. Uh-huh. The Coors Light came out with these wide mouth 32 ounce bottles. And I was hanging out with my friend Jason and Teddy, and I didn't have any money. They wanted to go out and party, and I was broke. Like, I didn't have $2 to rub together. So, like, oh man, let's not, like, I can't go downtown. Let's hang out here. We'll get some beers and just chill in the parking lot. And they didn't want to do that. And so I was like, all right. And they're like, tell you what. They put two 32 ounce beers right in front of me. They're like, if you can chug them both in a minute, we'll stay here. I was like, challenge accepted. And I took that first one down in 15. 32 ounce beer, chug, 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 gone. Uncapped the other one. It was about halfway through it when the foam from the first one decided to
come up, make an appearance.
And so, like had to stop and try to force it down, like burp a little bit, and like the timer's counting. Like, I got most of the second one down, but then I turned around and spewed foam. They're like, oh, you puked, doesn't count. I'm like, damn it, well then drop me off, because I got to go home. Now I'm drunk, because I just drank, like, essentially six beers in less than a minute. So, like, I went home, had a nice little buzz on, I was good to go. But
one like that, one night we were chugging pitchers at this place called Mako's. It was one of those things where I want to say it was Tuesday and Thursday nights. It was like dollar beers, just cheap Bush Draft, you know, just the shit. And we're chugging pitchers, and I went ahead, raced my friend Jared, finished one, and I could tell it's coming up. I got to get to the bathroom. So I started making my way to the bathroom. It was so funny because I go to push the door open. When my hand hit the door, I just projectiled all over the door. Okay? And I'm standing there, and as soon as I'm done, somebody opens the door. And he looks at it. I'm like, can you believe somebody threw up on the door right here? I just walked in the bathroom.
Man, the parking lot we were in, there's actually, at the corner of Willcrest and I-10, there's a Denny's there now. But the building that the Denny's is in used to be this little diner called JoJo's. It was back in the day before smoking bans, and they had a full bar. Like, you go in, it was an old school, like from the 60s, mm-hmm. little diner. And I used to sit there and smoke cigarettes and drink coffee and write songs or whatever. And, you know, that's where the boys would meet. Like, we'd meet there and then move on to where we were going. And then we'd end there and get pancakes and soak up the booze before we went home. And so many times, one or the other of us would get so bejesused out in the world, like somebody would puke in the bathroom at JoJo's. And it got to the point, dude, where the four of us walked in one time and the manager stopped us. He's like, which one of y'all need to puke? Go around the back. We're not cleaning this up. But we'd always tip the guy, like give Jose like an extra $10, because, and I'm not being sarcastic, his name was Jose, and he'd see us come in and like shake his head like, sorry bro. But you don't want us driving like this. Like this is bad news. So we're going to sit here, sober up a little bit, and then go home, you know. But, yeah, it was beer fest. Oh, good times.
Broken Lizard. Okay. Zombieland.
Definitely. The
casting is just phenomenal in that one.
Well, the ramifications of a world gone completely gone. Like, everybody's insane. There's nobody still alive that's like Woody Harrelson is kind of like Ash. His mind's just so far gone, he's just got nothing left to lose, so he's just but that end scene, dude, where he's like in that kiosk,
yeah,
and he's got, you know, like he has all of his
lined
all,
up
all his magazines lined up, and they're just swarming him. And it's his last stand. Like, everybody's going down. And then at the end, he's got them, they're all piled up, and he's eating a Twinkie.
Okay. Tremors, of course, is a great movie. Mm-hmm. Another one that's cast very well, written very well, meant to be funny. You know, have some really dark humor and everything.
With some really good scares.
The kills are great. Yeah, yeah. It's got some good scares for sure. And then what we have is about 80% of the movies, horror movies that came out in the 80s. the 80s were a beautiful time for just these cult classics that everybody has grown to love. From, you got Killer Clowns from Outer Space, Blood Diner. What I find interesting is you're starting to see independent films go back to that formula, and one of them would be Zombievers.
Right.
You know, Zombievers just takes right away from that old school 80s, don't take yourself seriously, just be a goofy movie with some great practical effects.
I agree. Like, again, we talked about that one in that, like, it was just compelling. It's one of those that you just, it shouldn't work, but it does.
Right.
The cinematography in it was good. The acting was good. It was goofy as all hell, but it was fun to watch.
It was supposed to be a fun ride, which, yeah, a lot of these older movies were like that. That's what they were meant to be. And one of the most fun rides that we had seen ever, you know, you got Night of the Living Dead, King of Zombie Movies, mm-hmm, you know, the one that started it all. And then when you get to Return of the Living Dead, which, when you first see the title, you're like, hey, it must be a sequel to that great... It's not exactly a sequel to it.
Well, I'm not exactly
sure. It takes elements from it, and it mentions it. It actually talks about it.
It's a tribute.
But it's meant to be a campy, goofy,
well, it's a completely different franchise.
It's a fun movie, though.
But Dawn of the Dead was the sequel to,
right,
to,
yeah,
Night of, which obviously, if you're waking up after the Night of, then you move, right, into the Dawn of. And then there's the Day of, which, yeah, is the, you know, and then moving on down that franchise. But, like, Return of the Living Dead.
At the beginning of the movie, they pay homage to it. They talk about, of course. Do you remember that movie, Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah, it was really...
That was a true story.
Yeah, of course. But, yeah, and that's one of those ones that we talked about as, like, as far as, like, how bad could it be?
Oh, yeah,
like,
it's a dreadful movie.
that's bleak. There's no getting out. Everybody's going to die. You know, and it's so good on so many levels, but just, like, the ridiculousness. It's like, you want to keep your job? He's like, this job. Like, you got the dead dog twitching around, yeah, on the ground. Like, cut off the dude's head and the dude stands up and runs. Like, yeah. get your tasty brains.
And of course, we got one guy that has done very well with mixing comedy and horror, of course, is one of the kings of horror, Stephen King. Mm. You got your Creepshow movies. You have Misery, which has some silly elements to it. You have Maximum Overdrive, which has a lot of humor involved in it. He's done very, very well in that area.
Well, I think too, he understands where that line is drawn between horrifying and just funny
and dark humor. Yeah.
Well, because we laugh when people fall over, right? It's like that was a meme that's like, you know when you're grown up. It's like, when you're not grown up and you fall over, people laugh. When you're grown up and you fall over, people get worried. Like, there's a slapstick effect when,
yeah,
people fall over. I mean, look at all the old comedies. Look at Bugs Bunny and how violent, yeah, that was. And it's hilarious. But, I mean, they never pulled any punches, literally. Like, it was a pie or a bomb or a gun or an anvil.
You know, they never had to put warnings, don't try this at home.
Don't try this at home. I just wonder, literally, kind of like Letters to Santa Claus, how many kids wrote to the Acme company and asked them for like a rocket and some roller skates? You know, like, dear company, can I please order the rocket and the roller skates in a size 5?
Speaking of that, just a little segue. I'm sorry for doing this segue right now, but remember Silver Spoons?
Mm-hmm.
So watching an old episode of Silver Spoons yesterday. And in this episode, Ricky's the grandfather is taking Ricky to go, wants to take him hunting, wants to take him deer hunting. The dad doesn't want him to go because he doesn't want him to lose that part of his childhood and be like really fucked up in the head and killing something. So the grandpa and Ricky go hunting. It is the stupidest hunting trip you've ever seen because they're sitting on a log in red flannel eating sandwiches. And every time they hear a noise, they jump up and they step back with their guns. And eventually a deer comes walking out towards them. The deer is like 10 foot away. And Ricky's like, can you pick up your gun and aim? And I'm like, that's not how hunting works.
Not at all.
And of course, at the end of it, they had to put the disclaimer, no deer were actually hurt in the film.
Did they shoot it?
Yeah, he shot it. Well, no. Yeah, Ricky shot it and it didn't die. So he's standing over it, and the grandfather's like, you gotta take it out of its misery. And he's like, I can't. So he turns around, and they just show the grandpa pull his gun up.
Oh, wow.
Just bam. It was just horrifying, dude.
Goofy shit.
Yeah. Some other 80s movies we have, Blood Diner also. You remember, I've talked about Blood Diner on here before. I'm not sure if you've ever seen it.
I've never seen it.
Blood Diner is about these two brothers who run a diner. And unbeknownst to their clientele, in the back room, their uncle, who was a wasn't a Satanist, but he was a cult leader, they keep his brain and two eyeballs in a jar. And they're able to communicate with him. And he has them sacrifice people to him to try to get his body back. And there's one scene where, my favorite scene, one I remember most in this movie, because this is one of those 80s movies I used to rent. I used to ride my bike down and rent Blood Diner. But he brings this girl back to the diner, and she realizes he's trying to kill her, and she's trying to fight back, and he sticks her head in the deep fryer, and when she pops up, her head is just a huge hush puppy. And she takes off running, and he hits it with a bat. And the head flies off. It's just the hush puppy totally flies off. It's this goofiest movie, man. But yeah, there's tons like that. Scream has some funny elements to it, too. And, of course, Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
How can you not have a funny horror movie with that cast?
Right. Well, Ghostbusters was a straight up, it was a comedy with horror elements.
Yes.
You know, that was SCTV.
It was built that way.
It was SCTV and Saturday Night Live put together. You know, there was a trend of, which Rob Zombie does, where he casts all his films with comedians and people who are known for lighthearted roles. So, like, you mentioned Three's Company. Terry.
Yeah.
Terry was in Devil's Rejects.
Yeah.
And that...
what's his name from the Every Which Way But Loose movies? Which is the actor? Philo's brother.
And then you've got the guy with the glasses who's a stand-up as well.
He's from The Office, yeah.
There's a lot of them that are just... They're comedic actors that go into horror movies because Zombie knows that's the effect.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you see somebody from Three's Company getting stabbed in the chest, that's not good. it's almost worse, you know?
So Gremlins 2, of course, is another one that went from... You know, Gremlins has some humor to it, but Gremlins 2 was just a straight-up goofy.
See, I don't know. I was too young. Do you know if there was, like, a backlash to Gremlins because
that
it was
I don't
so
know.
Frightening?
That would be interesting to find
because
out.
Because the second one was... Like, I remember being disappointed in the second one because it was kind of goofy. Whereas the first one was just straight-up... There was horror. There was nothing funny about Gremlins. It was terrifying.
Right.
I mean, it had its moments. Like, the stuff that the Gremlins did was funny. But that was a horror movie.
Right.
You know?
Now, you know, I did read recently, and I can't believe I didn't put it in the New Business, but they've confirmed that the reboot is going to be a straight-up horror movie.
That'd be cool.
So it would be interesting to see it in that light.
I actually...
As long as they do it well.
I actually picked up the novelization of Gremlins. Picked it up off eBay for like $2. Because I read somebody on Twitter was like, "Hey, I just read this and it's really cool." Because basically in the novelization, you can understand the Mogwais and the Gremlins can talk.
Okay.
They talk to each other. Humans can't understand them.
Okay, but you see what they're saying.
And but that like. And they explain, like, eating after midnight and what those rules are as far as, like, how far after midnight and stuff like that. And stuff like that Stripe and Gizmo argue about what's going to happen if we get big. And because they know that if they...
There's going to be a negative effect. It's going to be...
Well, they know if they change, they will change into something else.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that in the book, apparently, Stripe is a little bit more well-rounded character. He's got motivations and reasons for what he's doing, as opposed to just being a critter.
And so basically in the book, just I know it's not exactly like this, but Stripe and Gizmo are Professor Xavier and Magneto.
Sort of.
They're friends, and one takes a different path.
Well, Stripe is a... offspring of Gizmo because the water spilled.
Right.
But once the other Mogwais are there, then they start having this like morality discussion because Stripe wants to wreck shop, and Gizmo's like, "Don't do this. It always turns out bad." And Stripe's like, "Yeah, but you know, like you want to live your life in a bedroom? Like they're actually,
yeah,
you know, he's like, we're not pets. Like, you know, come on, let's just this is what we're made to do."
Right.
And so they're having these discussions about like, And
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I'm going to read it and get a little bit more in depth because that sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty much what I got as far as my top horror funny. You have any you want to add or?
Well, I was just thinking more about, especially because we talked about like the unnecessarily scary 80s stuff, mm-hmm. that was like maybe delivered as supposed to be funny, that it was, you know, it was horrifying stuff like Goonies.
Yeah,
you know, it's like Goonies is a great adventure, but man, they had a, you know,
it was a scary movie for a kid.
It had a lot of scary elements, and the Goonies wasn't necessarily a comedy, but it had a lot of funny stuff in it. But then just the scenes in there with the dead body in the freezer, and you know, the all of the skeletons and the lore and One-Eyed Willie and all of that stuff, you know, it's not a horror comedy. It's an adventure comedy, but
it's scary.
You know, it didn't take much to turn that a little bit dark.
Yeah.
So there are some of those as well that I was thinking about. Like, this was a comedy. It's meant to be a comedy. It's Mel Brooks, but Young Frankenstein. Okay. Yes, we're not going to go into Young Frankenstein's a long ass movie, right? We're not going to discuss scene for scene and all the stuff that was specifically designed to be funny. Young Frankenstein and Frankenstein are essentially the same story.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they didn't change much of the story. They just added some lightheartedness to it, and it works as a comedy. And it's not really all that scary. So, you mentioned like Fright Night and Lost Boys. Yeah, there's some. I think those are like they have some levity in there, but Lost Boys isn't funny.
No, it's a series. It's my favorite vampire movies.
And having a recent, we did Fresh Eyes, and having watched it recently as a grown up, and just remembering, there's a lot of cool stuff in there. There's a lot of ridiculousness in there, but I think anything that was goofy was added to like lighten the mood just a little bit because it was going some dark places. You know, it's not really I wouldn't call that a horror comedy at all. And then you mentioned Fright Night as well. Again, there's some levity stuff in there, but again, you know, it's like teen romp.
Yeah.
It's a teen kind. It's a 16 Candles. Really,
scary.
Really is. You know what I mean? Not comparing the two, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, that was the age of the teenage comedy. So you have teenagers in their little world with their girlfriend and their funny little things that they say. And then you've got something serious, dark, and evil living next door. You know?
And of course, I mentioned Slither, but I mean, that's James Gunn.
Yeah.
You know, that's his style.
Well, I also watched Night of the Creeps, night before last. I was thinking about doing it as Fresh Eyes, but honestly, once I turned it on, I realized I'd never seen it before.
Okay.
I thought it was something else, like Night of the Comet or something, but Night of the Creeps, have you seen that one?
I don't think so.
It's getting some traction, like on Instagram, people are posting about it and talking about how it's hilarious. The last like 15 minutes of it are pretty cool, but essentially what Night of the Creeps is, it starts off and there's these aliens in space and they're fighting and somebody steals this like vial of like worms and they jettison it from the spacecraft and it lands on Earth and there's these kids in the 50s and they're making out in the parking lot and one of them sees the crash and he goes to check it out and the worm jumps into his mouth. So then fast forward to now. Worms get out, and they all basically turn into exploding head zombies. And you're like, that sounds cool. It is cool, except for you've got a tremendous amount of not anything happening until the very end.
Okay.
And then everything happens at once, and then it's over. And it's like... yeah.
We need to do a Fresh Eyes on Near Dark as soon as we can get some copies of it.
I need to find a copy, dude. I think I'm just going to buy one off of eBay.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do the same thing, because I haven't seen anything
Mm-mm.
floating around anywhere, so... But yeah, well, I want to get it in time for Texas Frightmare.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that'd do it. That's a good segment. And that was episode 120. What's your favorite horror comedy? What's funny that shouldn't be? Or what's scary that's supposed to be funny?
Yeah, if any of the movies we've talked about you haven't seen before, make sure to check them out. There were definitely some classics on that list that should definitely be seen by every horror fan.
Rock and roll. I'm going to put a fork in it. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Play Margaritaville. Darling, I think you're referring to my song Pina Colada Berg.
No, Margaritaville.
I think you mean Pina Colada Berg. The song I wrote 7.5 fucking years before Margaritaville was even on the map. Of course, you wouldn't know that because you weren't even born yet.
Come on, Hawks, y'all. Let's get us a drink.
I don't need your shit.
Come on, man.
Fuck that guy, son of a bitch. Motherfucker.
They call me the mayor because I spend all my days here. You would too if you knew what I know.
Pina colada.
About a tropical tree. Suck straight from the coconut's teeth. When mixed just right, it makes your short hairs grow. Got a hole in my straw hat. Two tires on my Jeep flat. Maybe today I'll stay out of the sun. But the ladies are flocking. That means it's time to start cocking that brain freeze nectar that fills my pump gun. Hoisted another glass in Pina Colada Berg. Coconut milk with a pineapple splash. Don't forget that the rum comes first. Passed out flat on my ass in Pina Colada Berg. Bloodshot eyes and a sore mustache. Mouth tastes like pinata turd. Promised I'd take it slow down in Pina Colada Berg. Booze soaked lava is starting to flow. Guess I'll have to break my word. Wet bikinis to my right. Godless Pina Colada Berg. Slime mouth soup makes my head feel light. Makes me feel like a dirty bird. Dang, these drinks are strong. Shouldn't have smoked that bomb. Now I'm too drunk to sing this song.